What is the goal of your life? What is the goal of your life? Certainly many of us have goals in our lives, things that we want to achieve, whether that be at work or at home, or if we go to school, the things we would like to achieve at school. There are lots of goals that we work on every single day. I know personally every day I get up and I have the goal to be the best priest and pastor I can possibly be by God's grace in the course of the day. But is there a goal that is overarching in our lives, in all of our lives? What is the supreme goal of your life? If we say that the goal of our life is anything other than heaven, then being with God for eternity in heaven, we're selling ourselves very short. For the goal of our life's journey is to be with God forever in heaven. There's a popular phrase that's used, maybe you've seen it in a greeting card or on a bulletin or something, that says, life is a journey, not a destination. Well, I would respectfully disagree with that statement. Life is a journey, but life also has a very clear destination, which is heaven. All of the goals that we set in our lives, all of the people in our lives, all of the things that God has gifted us with, all of them have to be oriented towards that heavenly goal. Because that's why God created us, to be with Him forever in heaven. Why are so many people so unhappy these days? It's because so many have forgotten the goal of their life, and they're just sort of spinning their wheels, that the goal of life is heaven. And God's holy word that we've just heard this morning helps us to reflect on this supreme goal of our lives, the end of all of our lives. And it also helps us to put everything else in our lives into proper perspective. Perhaps you found this particular gospel reading to be sort of strange. Every time I hear it, it sounds strange to me. We think, well, is Jesus telling us that we should be like the steward and be dishonest? That doesn't seem right. And certainly that's not the case. That's not what he's saying in this gospel. And I think it's the very last line of the gospel that's the interpretive key for us. Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Your life can't have two masters. You can't serve two masters. Mammon here stands for any lesser good than God. Wealth, power, pleasure, honor, anything good in life that is less than God can fall into that category of mammon. So Jesus says you cannot serve both God and mammon. What he's telling us is that we must adore and worship God alone. Not other people, not our things, nothing lesser than him. He alone is to be worshipped. And that is how we look at the relationship between the steward and the master. You see, the steward was cheating the master, and the master found out about it. Well, when we don't serve God alone in our lives, it's like cheating the master. It's like cheating God. Why? Because we can never cheat God of anything. He's the source and origin of everything that we have. He knows everything. He knows the very thoughts of our hearts. So we can't cheat him, no matter how hard we might try. In the first reading, we heard from the prophet Amos. And the prophet Amos, in God's name, was decrying the merchants who were cheating people. He says, we will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. So they were fixing the scales a little bit so that they were getting more money for what they were giving, what they were selling. And you know, I wonder if that first time they went to fix the scale, if they thought, oh, well, that's not such a big deal. It's not a big thing. And then the next time, maybe they fixed it a little more, and then a little more. And then after a while, they didn't even notice that they were doing it. Sin is the same way in our lives. It can start very small. We can try to cheat God, and it can get easier and easier until we don't even notice it anymore. Jesus is asking us today to focus on that most important relationship. Our relationship with God, how we can never cheat Him, and how He knows the very depths of our hearts. And then the relationship between the steward and the other merchants, the master's debtors. That helps us to understand our relationship with other people and things in our lives. What the steward was doing is he was trying to make friends for himself. He was trying to help his particular situation by gathering friends to himself. He's using the things of the world in order to benefit the other people. He's using the master's gifts to benefit the other people. And that's why Jesus commends his ingenuity, that he's using things to make friends with people, to help other people. The things that we have in our lives, the gifts that God has given to us, are meant to be used for others. Again, the prophet Amos. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. God calls us to use the gifts that he's given us, the things of this world, to help our brothers and sisters, particularly those who are poor. So life is a journey. Life is a journey. It's also a destination. And on that journey, we have to focus on our relationship with God, that it is the most important, the most foundational relationship. And that the things we have in this life are for the service of our brothers and sisters. And that our life does indeed have a destination. And that destination is heaven. Today, we begin our family faith formation program for this year. Today is Catechetical Sunday in the church in the United States, a day when we recognize those who teach the faith. A few years ago, we transitioned our religious education program here at St. Mark from a traditional drop-off classroom model of religious education to a family faith formation program. Now, the traditional model of classroom education and religious education was a good thing. Many people devoted themselves to that, and we thank God for that. But the situation that we live in now has changed very much. Our world has changed, and our relationship with faith has changed. So we need a new model to address the challenges of the 21st century and the challenges that our faith encounters in the modern age. So instead of dropping children off for religious education, families come together to be formed in the faith, to learn and to grow. And there have been struggles with the implementation of this program. I understand that. There are people who have left the parish or left the program because they did not think this was right for their family. But we believe that this is right for our parish at this time, to focus on the foundation of our parish community, which is our families. If our families are not rooted in faith, then our parish community will not be rooted in faith. And particularly our parents, because our parents are the spiritual leaders of their families. Many people have said, well, Father, I don't know my faith well enough to teach my children. And that may be true. And I accept that fact and understand it. However, spiritual leadership, is not just teaching the faith. Spiritual leadership is modeling for your family what it means to live in relationship with God, to have a personal love for Jesus Christ, and to live by the power of the Holy Spirit in the community of the Catholic Church. And any parent can model that for their child. No parent can delegate the spiritual leadership of your family. You can't delegate it to the best catechist on the face of the earth, because that catechist cannot teach those things to your children. They look to you for that. Sometimes the simplest faith is the most profound faith. Your children will learn more from your spiritual leadership than from the best catechetical material or the best homily that they ever hear from this pulpit. They learn by your example. And that spiritual leadership is so critical. What we have to do now is teach our children, teach the next generation to love God, to have a personal relationship with Jesus, to live by the power of the Holy Spirit in the community of the church, and any parent can teach their child to do that. And we want to help you as parents to grow in that relationship with God and love for Jesus. That's why we've made many improvements to our program this year, to help our parents to deepen their relationship with the Lord, to help them to grow in faith, and then to pass that on to their children. We give thanks to God for the gift of this family faith formation program and what we believe he is doing in the parish through it. I'd like to thank all of our families who have embraced this program and are growing together in their faith. I'd like to thank our catechists who have embraced this program. And this year, in a special way, I'd like to thank our small group leaders who are going to be traveling with our adults through this entire year of family faith formation to help them to grow in their own faith so that they can model that spiritual leadership, that they can have spiritual leadership in their families. So, my dear friends, life is indeed a journey, and it's also a destination. Let us always keep our eyes fixed on heaven.